Thank you for listening to the Faith Radio Mornings podcast. Enjoy the conversation.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings. Let it rise.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I hope your weekend was good. Mine was extra busy. It was kind of an interesting weekend for me because I had a birthday over the weekend. I realized there are a few people, here are a few people that died before they reached my age, okay? Chopin, Mozart, Schubert, Beethoven, Keats, Byron, Mahler, Shakespeare, Marlowe, James Joyce, and Alexander the Great. Now, I'm not trying to compare myself to those people. I'm just kind of hoping on a subconscious level you will. And we've got a great week planned here at Faith Radio because we have our spring share starting tomorrow. And boy, are we excited. We cannot wait. Look at the excitement here in the studio. Everyone's nodding their heads. They're bobbing their heads like parakeets, which I love. We are going to have a lot of fun starting 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're doing our for 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it'll be great. And we have coming up this morning in just a few minutes, my friend Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. And we're going to talk about news that happened over the weekend. And then a little bit later this morning, we're going to talk to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. And she has all the information on a lot of great ministries around the world doing God's work and putting themselves in dangerous situations and ignoring all of it for the gospel. God bless those people. We need to pray for them, support them, give money to them, and admire them because they're doing what God is calling them to do. And I hope today that you are doing what God is calling you to do today because it's what we have in life is to serve God, to know him, make him known, and get up every day and do it, all right? So we're going to bring Patrick on in just a minute. And up until then, I'm just reading that Dunkin' Donuts, believe it or not, is creating a drink that is going to guarantee to get you going because I'm having my coffee this morning, and they have a new Monster Energy drink called Kooladas. These drinks will cost $3.69 and are available only in the Northeast, Miami and West Palm Beach. But they are teaming up with Monster Beverage Corporation and Dunkin' Donuts. This is going to be one gigantic dose of caffeine. This might solve all of your energy problems in the morning. They're going to come in two flavors, blue raspberry and strawberry. And I'm going to have my coffee in the time being. Until those drinks come to my neck of the woods, I'm going to stay away. It sounds like there's about 10 gallons of sugar in there too, doesn't it? All right. We're going to take a little break when we come back. Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. Be back in a minute.
If you had one.
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Good morning, it's 8 minutes after the hour. You might know who that soundtrack is for. It's for Patrick Albanese, my friend from West Des Moines. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
I never get tired of that song.
I had to switch over to a different microphone, so I hope this is working okay for you.
It sounds fantastic. Let's talk about some of the things that happened over the weekend. Primarily something that's gotten a lot of attention, especially for Christians, as they hear about all of the news that's been made over Mike Pence and his wife and the way he protects his marriage.
The horror of it all.
Yes.
I mean, why would it? Why would you want to do that in a town that's built on innuendo, rumor? You know, you're having lunch with somebody, and the whole blow up. I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, when did all these people get so concerned about that stuff?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, as I said, when Bill Clinton had his little arrangement with Hillary, I mean, we were told, you know, we didn't understand their arrangement. And we just got to kind of, you know, live and let live. And Anthony Weiner and Huma are supposedly trying to work it out. I mean, she's probably going to have to take his cell phone away. But I mean, we look at that and we're supposed to say that's beautiful. But a guy saying, here's the respect I have for my wife. This is our arrangement. And we're like, oh, my goodness, the sensibilities.
Yeah. And then, of course, then they say it's a woman can't be alone with him over dinner. And I think, well, why is that important?
Well, I didn't realize that that's are you telling me that you can't build your career without having dinner and drinks with the boss alone? Because that's a little bit creepy to me.
I think so,
too.
Is
that the only way you can get ahead?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it kind of strains my sense of what makes any sense. You know, most you could say, well, gosh, you know, men have an unfair access to each other in the restroom as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many deals are done there or the locker room or at the
sure.
gym? You got
sure.
a workout partner. If this is the supposed playing field we have to level, it can't be done.
Yeah.
It just can't be done.
Right. But if the world is hostile towards Christians and hostile towards anything, Donald Trump, they are going to attack.
Yeah. And I guess that's, you know, in a sense, you have to say that's the beauty of it. So many people I know, I'm seeing it all over the place, have reached a saturation point where they say, oh, come on, you're being really ridiculous at this point in time. And I can't understand. He's been president for whatever, 75 or 80 days, and they're still going strong with looking for anything to be upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot of energy expended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, seems wasteful.
Yeah. Now, the Pences follow what they call the Billy Graham rule, which I think Billy Graham started in the 50s, where he just wasn't going to be put in a situation where he could be photographed in a compromised situation, which seems to make perfect sense to me.
Well, you know, and again, you know, then they'll read more into it and they'll say, well, you know, gosh, what is he? Does he have some sort of problem? Is he afraid he can't control himself? And, you know, it's amazing. These would be the same people where you would say, well, you know, what would you say to an actor in Hollywood who has respect for his wife, says, I don't do certain types of scenes in movies? I would imagine, I'd like to think these people might say, well, that's nice. That's nice of you to do that. That's respectful to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you were to find out that his real reason for doing it is he's like, well, you know, maybe I enjoy those scenes too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want, you know, I don't want to put myself in that situation. Again, I think these same people would say, well, good for you for, you know, for abstaining from that situation. Or just like they'd say to an addict that says, look, I can't even have one drink because I know what will happen. So I keep myself out of those situations. You know, we applaud those people.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you were to say, ascribe some sinister motives to Pence's reason for doing this, wouldn't you still have to applaud him and saying, well, good for you for knowing your weakness. Let's say that's your weakness. Well, what a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And put yourself in a situation.
And what is so wrong about anybody putting healthy boundaries around their most coveted relationships?
I don't know. I guess I grew up in a very unusual, you know, the 70s must have been much more Victorian than I realized.
Yeah.
That was kind of the norm, as I recall it. Bell-bottom pants and Victorian ethics.
Yeah, but you would just do whatever it would take to preserve and to protect your marriage and your marriage relationship. So, yeah.
You tried. I think we do that with so many things. We say, what are the healthy boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, golly, maybe a really smart thing, and I've run a business before where they say, you know, your best bet if you're ever having to talk with employees is to do it out in the open and don't do it behind closed doors, because you don't want to be in a situation where somebody could even just accuse you of having done something, because many employees, if they ever lose their job, they turn into what they call, I believe, disgruntled. And I have had those situations where somebody comes back later and says, oh, by the way, something happened at work that nobody ever took care of and I'm suing you. So I've been through that.
Mm-hmm. And how long has the left been trying to devalue marriage and everything marriage?
Yeah. And I think it was so hard for me to grasp this. You know, as you know, I was kind of late to the game being a Christian, but I got in on time. I got in under the buzzer.
Yes, you did.
I made that 3-point shot from the free throw line.
Right. And you're still alive. So that's good.
Yeah, I got, you know, but the thing was, I didn't want to believe for the longest time that everything that was happening was at its core an attack on Christianity, because was like, oh, come on. The world isn't that sinister. The world isn't that evil. These people aren't thinking it through. And it's true, they might not be thinking it through, but they're operating as pawns in a game. And you say, well, destroy marriage, destroy all these things. And eventually people give up and religion disappears. And then evil wins.
Yeah. Boy, well said.
Yeah.
Right on, Patrick. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, more with Patrick Albanese. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. It is 15 minutes after the hour. Be back in a minute. Bill Arnold here. Good morning, everyone. So glad you're with us today. I'm talking to Patrick Albanese. Patrick, did you know that this month is Distracted Driving Month? Because over the weekend, I saw what appeared to be three or four really horrific crashes. Now, keep in mind, the weather was perfect. The driving conditions were ideal. And when I see the magnitude of these crashes, I think, what possibly could have happened? And then I think, well, everybody's looking at their cell phones. When is this going to change? When are we going to take this seriously?
And by the way, when they hold a month like this that says it's Distracted Driving Month, it's not like it's Pancake Month. I'm supposed to go eat pancakes. It means that you go out and say, evidently I'm supposed to be doing distracted driving this month, and I'm a participator, so let me get out my cell phone. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, that I find myself occasionally going, there it is. There's my little precious down there in the cup holder.
You do feel that way.
Yeah. I think a message came in. It's very important I read that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to drive country, and I would do these 2,000-mile drives. And, you know, at best, if I had a cell phone, of course, there was no communication. When I had that, you know, that little phone where you said this texting thing is very difficult, I just sent somebody an ampersand and a parenthesis. You know, I don't know how to use it. So I didn't – it's amazing. I go, where did this desire to have to always be connected come from? It didn't used to exist. It was – in fact, I used to get in that car and say – I'm away from everything. Now it's like, finally, just me and my phone alone in the car.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Patrick, we're going to take a little break and try to reconnect with you. Be back in a minute. 19 minutes after the hour, Faith Radio Mornings. Be right back.
Here's our expert, Rob West, with today's MoneyWise Minute.
Today, let's talk about extended warranties. Most often, you'll see these on household items, TVs, appliances, or computer gear. It seems every time I buy something like this, the salesperson wants to sell me this protection. And of course, auto dealers offer them as well, but they can be slightly different. So when it comes to smaller consumer items, the answer is always no. But say it nicely. Extended warranties are relatively expensive. And remember why the retailer is doing this. It's not because they like you and because they want to serve you. It's because they make a boatload of money selling these extended warranties. They've done their homework. Retailers realize that it's pretty rare for the warranty to actually be used. So what you pay for becomes highly profitable for them and something you probably won't benefit from, Steve.
For more money-saving tips, visit us at CompassOne.org, CompassOne.org.
All right, we are back, and hopefully all those little technical difficulties are behind us. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Okay, tell me this is working great.
This is near perfect. Now,
Unlike James Earl Jones, that's the important thing.
Thanks. I read over the weekend that certain people, like a Barbara Streisand, she's gaining weight, and Leah Dunham is losing weight because everyone's lives are so upended over President Trump, they still cannot put what happened in November behind them.
So I don't understand. Is it a weight gain or a weight loss program? It sounds like a wash. Or did Barbara Streisand just gain the weight that Lena Dunham lost?
I'm not really don't know at this point. But
I don't either.
Yeah, but the way in which people are still so angry and so relationships among friends are still being ruined, which I think at a certain point, let's all start being adults here.
I'm a little bit puzzled. I've seen many friendships blow up over the Facebook connection. And, you know, as you know, my whole philosophy on Facebook is it allows you to reconnect with the, you know, some friends you haven't spoken to in 30 years to replace the friends you aren't speaking to now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a mutual friend, and I don't read – I stopped reading his posts a couple of months ago, but he's gotten to the point where I'm thinking, how can you put up 20 to 30 anti-Trump articles a day?
It's a little obsessive.
Yeah, and you're going, well, now you're just digging around the internet saying, what else can I find? And pretty soon you're going to be complaining about his deodorant brand, and it's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it is a good friend, there are times I want to intervene, but he's so volatile right now, I feel like I can't contact him and say, I need you to just take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Take a step – go get your life back. You got a wife and kids, and enjoy them. Don't do this to yourself. It's not healthy.
Yeah, and if there's a darkness in your soul, there's no way politics are going to help you get out of that darkness.
Well, to me, the politics is the darkness anymore. Like if we haven't grasped that, why wouldn't Satan, for instance, use politics as this incredible weapon to rip apart friendships, to rip apart good relations between people, because it apparently is extremely effective.
It seems pretty innocent, doesn't it? Just have a nice little conversation about what's going on in politics and then let it all break out.
Yeah, let it all. It's like, here you go. Why don't we just drop this little tidbit into your bonnet and let that bee buzz around a little bit, and I'll come check on you guys in just a little bit. I'm sure you won't be talking to each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not healthy.
Yeah. All right. Let's switch to this article I read over the weekend about North Korea and their desire to possibly go after the U.S. with nukes by 2020. And the president said, ain't going to happen. We'll stop that. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, there are people, and I've been known to be one of them, that say that occasionally Trump might have this casual relationship with the truth. But it seems like this is something that we're headed for a showdown.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what we say or do, those people are going to say and do their things. And you know, we probably made mistakes back in the 90s with Bill Clinton appeasing these people, saying, how about I'm going to send Dennis Rodman over. Here's a basketball. We're good, right?
Yeah.
We're good.
Oh, that's funny.
So we're headed for troubles, I believe.
Who is going to be on Team USA along with us? Will China help us defeat North Korea if the time comes?
I don't know. I mean, isn't the story that they're kind of, you know, behind some of this, where they're saying, you know, there are little they're kind of our bad cop for our, well, they're sort of playing bad cop, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that maybe they would step up and put an end to it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're kind of secretly behind the scenes, kind of enjoying anything that rattles the U.S., anything that distracts us, anything that makes us have to put our energy where we can't watch our flank sides, where they might be trying to, you know, creep up on us economically and change the world. I guess I just don't – I'm not very trusting is my problem.
Yeah, nor am I. So one last thing. We've got baseball season opening up today, and you've got your beloved Chicago Cubs returning to the field.
Yes.
And what do you think about their prospects this year? Think it was a one and done?
No, I think their prospects are good, but it's very hard to repeat. I just hope it's not another 108 years, because I'm not sure I can hold out.
You can't hold out, your kids can't hold out, and your grandkids can't hold out.
I know.
108 years.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, thanks so much for being on the show. We'll see you next Monday. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, you too. Bye.
Yep. It's 26 minutes after the hour. Coming up next after the news, we're going to talk to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News, find out all the news we can learn about what's going on overseas. Be back in a minute. Minutes after the hour. Good morning. Hope your weekend was good. Bill Arnold here. We're going to take a little break for news. Lots more on Faith Radio Mornings coming up soon. Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News.
finding encouragement together.
You have strengthened me 1,000 times over in my walk with God, and you've empowered me to then extend God's love, mercy, and grace to others who may be hurting, falling in their walk, or who simply just need some encouragement. He's blessed me to give, and as he continues to lead, direct, and challenge me, I will continue to give. Thank you.
Learning, growing, and strengthening our faith together. Faith Radio.
Four minutes after the hour. Good morning, Bill Arnold here. What does it mean to be codependent? Counselor Todd Mullican offers this explanation.
A lot of times it's hard for them to speak their own truth in situations because they're afraid of maybe hurting somebody's feelings or getting a reaction that's not okay. So they have a hard time just having their own feelings and sharing what's on their heart because they're concerned that the other person's reaction may not go well. And then in that moment, that means they're outside of God's will. So they're having a relational conflict with a spouse, a friend, and they're saying, "Gal, you know, when that happened yesterday, my feelings were a little bit hurt, and I'm just struggling with that." So they lead out very well, but the reaction of the person that they're with might be an overreaction, and they get upset, and they say, "Well, how can you talk to me like that?" And so then they tell themselves, "Well, I must have done that wrong." And so they end up a lot of times not speaking truth to a friend or a loved one because they're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings.
Boy, I'm not codependent. I don't care what people think. You like me, don't you? Tell me you like me. Okay. If you want to hear that full interview, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Next up, Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Be back in a minute.
It's likely the most misunderstood phrase to come out of the Reformation was the priesthood of all believers. This is Jim Garlow. This year we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the dramatic event when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, igniting the Protestant Reformation. And perhaps the most popular phrase to come out of that period, the priesthood of all believers. The most popular, but also the most misunderstood. What was Luther saying? Not that every person is his own personal priest, but that every person functions as a priest to others. You and I can't pat ourselves on the back and say how impressive we are because we're a priest. Not at all. The New Testament speaks of only two priesthoods, that of Christ and that of all believers. And our priesthood is a call to servanthood. We'll do our part, keeping you informed at jimgarlow.com.
Good morning. It's 36 minutes after the hour. I have on the studio line our faithful correspondent, Ruth Kramer, who is suffering a little bit today with a little under the weather, aren't you, Ruth?
It kind of backed up and rolled over me.
Okay. So it's just worse than a little under. You've been backed over.
Yeah. I'm actually on the mend, so I'm upright, duct taped to the chair.
Awesome. Well, you know, I want to talk about the Ukraine, and they're named as the third worst in suffering. But I also want to just let you know that we are so grateful for you and that you still get up on a day like this where you're feeling not so good yourself in your own suffering and report the news. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having us. You know, it's interesting that you're bringing up this report because it's actually coming out of the 2017 World Happiness Report. It's a Gallup World Poll, and what we were looking at was the flip side of the top countries that are reporting how happy they are, and that would be the bottom three that are considered to be suffering.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. So it's just a big reversal. So you'd think if you were suffering so much, you wouldn't be happy, but just the opposite is true.
Well, I think I'm going to try to understand what you said in English. Yes. Really, the bottom of the list was the lowest country on the list was South Sudan, followed mm-hmm. by Haiti and Ukraine. And really, the situation in Ukraine is something we're looking at because of the situation with the war that they're having with Russia. Now, are you familiar with what's been happening in Ukraine?
Yeah, I am. But do tell our listeners.
Okay. Well, essentially, you know, this started maybe in 2014. With the situation with some of the separatists in Ukraine wanting to go back to Russia and be under Russia's overarching care, under the leadership there. And so you had what essentially began as a civil war, and then Ukraine decided it was going to try to fight Russia because Russia was trying to annex a certain part of Ukraine back under its care. And then you had a situation where it turned into a civil war between the separatists and the government. And it's been raging ever since. It doesn't get a lot of headlines now because there are a lot of other situations that have really started to get the attention of everyone. And of course, Russia is in the headlines for other reasons now. But this has been an ongoing situation since 2014, and it's been uglier and uglier. It's gotten really difficult, and you've had a couple of different changes in presidencies in Ukraine since this actually started. So when you have a situation with a civil war, it can get to be very, very difficult. And Ukraine wasn't really wealthy to begin with. So when you add the cost of a civil war and the government can't afford to protect their soldiers, can't afford to really arm them, can't afford to do a lot of things for them, it really starts to take its toll on a lot of other things. And because some of these areas where you've had the difficulties on the eastern side of the country have really just gotten worse, you have a lot of food issues, you've got a lot of insecurity issues, you have a lot of concerns about what the future is going to mean. And so when this Gallup poll came around, they were asking the questions, how do you perceive your current life and how do you perceive your future? A lot of people that they're talking to in Ukraine aren't very hopeful about the future right now because of the ongoing war and the uncertainty of what's going to happen because of the difficulties that they're having with Russia. You know, ceasefire was supposed to have taken place this weekend, but ceasefires have come and gone since 2014. And usually something happens where someone breaks a ceasefire and they go back to fighting, or they call a ceasefire and it doesn't look like anything changed. So that's the difficulty for Ukraine. And right now, 41% of the people in Ukraine basically say they just don't see an end to this in the near future. Slavic Gospel Association, though, is in there. They have a network of churches that have been heavily active among other ministries in Ukraine, and they have this thing called the Crisis Evangelism Fund, which basically goes in to equip the churches with the funds that they need to be able to provide what's necessary. It's a lot quicker to send the funds in so that you can, you know, get what you need on the ground. The difficulty is becoming now it's harder to find what you need on the ground because there's such a shortage of everything. So, you know, you're coming into a situation where buildings are kind of wide open because they've been shelled and they can't actually fix things. So there's a lot of people without homes. There's a lot of food shortages and those kinds of difficulties. And the places right now that are responding to those needs most consistently are the churches. So what the Crisis Evangelism Fund is doing is allowing the churches to open their doors and say, if you need shelter, if you need food, if you need someone to talk to, come to us. We will be here. And they're acting as the hands and feet of Christ on the ground.
Can I be honest, Ruth? You explained that a lot better than I would have.
Well, I'm glad I was able to do that.
I'm not going
to
get you laughing because I don't want you coughing. All right, let's talk about the religious freedom and the Jehovah's Witnesses of all people in Russia.
This is an interesting situation because, you know, the issues at hand right here it's a single issue. It's a religious freedom issue. Russia has looked at the Jehovah's Witnesses as an extremist group for quite a long time, and their approach to the Jehovah's Witnesses has actually sort of set the tone for how that group of people is viewed askance throughout the former Soviet Union. So this is not – it is Russia right now, but it's not just related – it's not only in Russia because we've seen this situation crop up in a number of other countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union. Their Ministry of Justice, Russia's Ministry of Justice, has now applied to have the Jehovah's Witness activity, the organization, declared as an extremist group, possibly because of the way that they utilize their techniques to share their message. We would call that evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that you've probably had people come to your door as Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're, you know, very well known for doing that. They go out to the neighborhoods. They walk around. They talk to people. They share their literature. They share their message. And they're very effective at that. And Rush is looking at that and saying, you know, this is kind of a problem. We need to really clamp down on this and be able to have a little bit more control of that. So what they're looking at is declaring everything that's connected to the Jehovah's Witnesses as extremism and to do away with that and basically get them out of the country. The issue, the reason why we were looking at this story is because it doesn't usually stop with just that. The Jehovah's Witnesses is one group, but when you look at what the evangelical Christians are doing, the evangelical believers, those who would follow the Bible, who believe Trinity, and the God-man, essentially, who Jesus Christ is as the Son of God. That group of people, evangelical Christians, is not far behind on on the scale of how they operate and what the government is looking at them like. So really, what is happening to Jehovah's Witnesses could very well happen to the Christians, because it's just very similar in how we would go out and want to share our message with other people, how we would go out and say, hey, you know, we'd like to have a Bible study. Would you like to come to our homes to have a Bible study? Or would you like to come to church? Or perhaps even if you had someone that was willing to go out and share that message door to door, that would be something that is problematic, especially now in light of the anti-missionary activity with that law that just came down. That is something that's becoming much more difficult. So religious freedom, when it affects one group, we may not necessarily be in agreement with them on tenets of faith. But what we do understand is that what affects them will affect us as well. So Open Doors is basically saying we need to be praying. We need to be speaking up, because Christians are very likely next in line to be targeted by Russia. You know, we've already been seeing the activity with the anti-missionary laws that have gone into effect, and how that has forced a lot of people to have to rethink how they do ministry in the area. So it is a necessary area of prayer. One thing I will say about this, though, is that the Russian church has been through difficulty before. They have survived through the heaviest times of communism. The gospel still was shared in spite of the fact that it was illegal. So the Holy Spirit will continue to work, and we just need to be praying for the boldness and the strength of the believers that are there and the creativity to be able to figure out how to do what's necessary in order to be the light of the light and salt of the world.
Awesome. All right, we'll take a little break more with Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News in just a few minutes. It's 49 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'm talking to Special Secret Agent Ruth Kramer. No cough or flu bug will hold her down. She is reporting today. And Ruth, let's talk a little bit about the network of churches in Tajikistan. Am I saying that right?
Tajikistan.
You know, I knew that this morning, but I couldn't spit it out right now. So thank you for helping me. And this particular story caught my attention because they are being interrogated for what? I'll let you tell it.
Okay. Well, first let's put a little bit of a context to this. Tajikistan is one of the stand countries in Central Asia. So it's in the Commonwealth of Independent States, Central Asia. It is an area where we have seen a lot of similar activity with surrounding states. This is not unusual activity for this area. Now, if you are going to try to prevent extremism from coming up in your country, what group of people do you want to – how far back do you want to go? How far back do you want to start protecting people?
It sounds like a trick question.
It's not really a trick question. Where would you want to start?
As young as possible.
Okay, so that's kind of the logic behind what is happening in Tajikistan. They are looking at Christians, evangelical Christians, as extremists and as some people to be wary of because of the way that they believe, the things that they do, how quickly they can mobilize people to action. And the thing that they're trying to do is protect the underage kids from the exposure to these ideologies. So that is what Tajikistan has done, is they've got churches, a network of churches under very heavy scrutiny, and their crime was having children and teens under the age of 18 at the religious services. So if you're looking around you, you know, Sunday when you were in church, you had teenagers and you had kids with you in the service. Potentially.
Yes,
I mean, some,
of course.
Some, you know, churches have separated out their families and things like that. And there's like different levels of Sunday school for the younger kids and things like that. But a lot of churches will allow the full family to worship together. And in Tajikistan, that's becoming illegal. So it's illegal for underage minors to engage in religious activities, even if they're with their parents. And that's a very difficult law to understand, because it's sussing it out is, you know, pages and pages long. But essentially, there was a network of churches that, you know, allowed the kids to be with their parents in worship. And so some security officers got wind of that, and they've been attending the services in a couple of areas to basically get evidence. So they're taking pictures, they're filming services, they're focusing in on the kids. And because this has become a criminal investigation, you're going to be looking at more interrogations to the members. You're going to be looking at intimidation factors. And the potential is that they're going to close the church down, or the network of churches down. Tajikistan is like, you know, the Open Doors World Watch list of the countries that are most known for the persecution of Christians is number 35 in the top 50. So what you're seeing is kind of a top-down kind of persecution engine. It's a dictatorship, more or less. They say they have a president, but it's operating like a dictatorship. And Islamic extremism is mostly present in the private and family community atmospheres. So in this case, it's just been a combination of things that have put a lot of pressure on the churches. We don't really know where this is going to go from here. We've just been alerted by Open Doors that the churches are under investigation. And really, their advocacy director is saying, you know, we need to be praying for these believers, because they are fully aware of what is happening. And they're very concerned that they could soon lose their house of worship. And when you're under scrutiny by the security in a country like this, it doesn't usually just stop with your religious activity. It doesn't usually just stop with where you go to church. If your church shuts down, then they start going after you as well. So they're just asking that we pray for these brothers and sisters in Christ to stay bold,
mm-hmm.
to get grounded in the Word while they have that freedom and opportunity, and then just pray that God will work in this situation to continue to allow these churches to thrive in spite of the difficulty.
Now, Ruth, has this persecution destroyed any of these churches in Tajikistan? There, I said it correctly.
Well, in the past, we have heard that the churches have been closed, but usually what these kinds of things go through the government red tape rather than actually just brazenly being bulldozed.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they're found in violation of something, so you wind up getting slapped with some kind of an injunction or something where they close the doors because you don't have the right permits, or you're breaking the law or something like that. And then getting re-registered under some of the registration laws makes it nigh into impossible to operate legally. So there were a number of crackdowns that took place legally probably 10 years ago. In not just Tajikistan, but the surrounding countries of the stands. And it was a situation where they closed the churches with the government red tape, you know, different permits and those kinds of issues. And then when they were just told, well, it's just a matter of re-registering, making sure that you're legal, they couldn't re-register because they either didn't have enough people, or they had too many people, or they didn't have the right number of the right mix of people to qualify for another registration to be legally operating. So it's It's a very difficult situation for the believers in Tajikistan. This network of churches, we don't really know how big it is at this point, because Open Doors doesn't want to necessarily give away everything. They're letting us know what the problem is without putting people more at risk in the security situation. But this faces the body of Christ in general in this area. So they're asking us to be praying, because how would we feel? How would we want people to be praying for us if our churches were under investigation, if the government was saying you can't worship with your family, it's not legal to do this? You know, our jobs as parents is to disciple our kids, mm-hmm. and we like to worship together too, because that helps us to cement that bond as we disciple our families. If your government is stepping in and saying that's not legal, and they're threatening whether or not your church can operate, how would you want people to be praying for your church? How would
exactly.
you want them for you?
Exactly.
So I'll just put that out there and just say, yep. please, when you think about this, please be praying.
All right, Ruth, I got to run because I'm signing up for a class today called How to Pronounce the Name of Countries That End in Stan. I'm very, very excited. I'm very excited about that. And I'm going to report back to you after graduation. Have
Good
a great
deal.
Week. It's 57 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. It's 58 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold with you today. And we are starting the baseball season today. And frankly, I can't wait. The Twins are playing the Kansas City Royals this afternoon. And there's a lot of other games. Milwaukee's going to play Colorado. And the Red Sox are hosting the Pirates for opening day at Fenway. So I'm one happy camper today. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, hour two, Faith Radio Mornings.
Thank you for listening to this conversation from Faith Radio Mornings. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings. Also, take a moment to subscribe to this podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.